Welcome to the Empowerment Show with Melissa Heisler on the Link Local Network. Link locally, connect globally. Every week, discover new personal choices with practical, inspiring guides. And now, here's Melissa.
Hello again, and happy Tuesday, all, and welcome to the Empowerment Show. I'm Melissa Heisler, Empowerment Coach at It's My Life, and it is your life. Live it. Today, I'm joined by Catherine Wolf and Lee Barrett from the Babes with Blades Theater Company. If you want to join our conversation, call in at 323-580-5755 and press 1, or you can post your questions at facebook.com/TheEmpowermentShow. So today I am joined by two ladies from Babes with Blades. I'm joined by Catherine Wolf, who has approximately 15 years of Chicago storefront theater under her belt, including appearances with Looking Glass Theater Company, Fifth House Ensemble, Mary Archie's Theater Company, where she received a Jeff nomination for Best Actress in a Supporting Role, Buffalo Theater Ensemble, Pheasant Run Dinner Theater, First Folio Shakespeare Festival, among others, including 13 years as an active company member of the Babes with Blades Theater Company. She has also recorded voiceovers for TV and radio commercials, video games, and even one pinball machine. And she can be seen in indie feature film, Sword of Hearts, and the indie short film, The Lovecraft Syndrome. She recently lost her mind and found a production company called Wolf Point Media, which is producing a web series she's written and currently can be seen on the web series darkage.tv. Our other guest is Lee Barrett, the artistic director for the Babes with Blades Theater Company, and she has been an active member of the Chicago theater scene since 1989, working as a stage manager, lighting designer, director, and producer for such companies as Oak Park Festival Theater, City Lights, Bailiwick Repertory, and Next Theater. As a member of the Stage Left Theater and Plasticine, she developed a passion for developing new plays, which she brings now to shepherding the Babes with Blades Fighting Words series. She joined the ensemble in 2007 after designing for their world premiere adaptation of The Girl in the Iron Mask, and was named artistic director in 2011 while directing their box office hit, The Double. She is currently directing their workshop of Patrick's Drifters, as well as the 2013 fall production of Beau Thomas and the Case of the Sky Pirates. Thank you both for joining me this evening.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So, Catherine, why don't you tell us a little bit about how the Babes with Blades Theater Company came about?
Well, this is Catherine. I'll start. Back in 1997, a woman named Dawn Sam Alden, she was a little alarmed at the lack of fighting roles available for women in theater. And, I mean, that's a problem that goes way back. Everybody knows that there's a dearth of female fighting roles. We all study stage combat in, you know, acting school, and then we graduate and never get to use it. So she thought she'd put together a showcase that was all female, all fight scenes, and just invite the casting directors around town and artistic directors of various theaters in the hopes that they would come and see that women can take on these, you know, epic fighting roles and perhaps rethink some of their future casting choices. Well, it was going to be a two-night showcase, and as soon as it was advertised, it sold out, so they added two nights, and that sold out, so she decided to put together a full run. Basically, it's been running ever since, sort of. I mean, it started running as a showcase. You know, every couple of months, there'd be a new set of scenes, and then over time, we branched out and decided to start developing new work and doing full productions of new plays.
Yeah, we've been producing full-length productions since about 2006, I want to say.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in addition to the new plays, we're also doing adaptations of classics like the all-female Shakespeare that gets produced every other year.
Which I was lucky enough to catch this year. You had your all-female production of Julius Caesar. Was there a specific reason why this play was chosen?
Well, certainly it was a production that had a lot of some good stage combat opportunities in it. What we look for generally when we're looking at plays that have violence is for the violence to be really integrated into the characters and integrated into the story. And these were very personal fights that were in it. And additionally, it's a classic Shakespeare play that is, well, for me, it's about less about sexuality and gender, although some people would argue with me otherwise, than it is about power. And certainly the gender comes into play with power. But power is such a universal theme, and Shakespeare writes characters that just transcend gender. Anybody can say those. Anybody can be those people, as long as they're a good actor. We have some darn good actors.
Precisely, and exactly. It's Julius Caesar is a great example of having, you know, some of the absolute classic roles in theater that women hardly ever get to play. And so, you know, it's as an actor, you know, one of the things I love about it with Blades Theater Company is that you get the chance to play a role nobody else is even going to look at you twice for.
Yes, we could talk a little bit about the mission, because a lot of times when people hear, here's a theater, a women's theater company who wants to do violent plays, it may not resonate with them. So is it the idea of getting choice roles that women wouldn't otherwise play? Is it breaking the gender barrier? You know, what's really the mission behind the Babes Who Slayed Theater Company?
Lee, can I start this one?
Sure, go for it.
Well, here's the thing. When it absolutely began, part of it was certainly opening people's eyes to the fact that women can play these roles. And part of it was simple job equality, you know, pushing for women being able to be looked at for the opportunities that they weren't going to otherwise if people don't start changing their minds about women, what women are capable of playing. But there's also a larger sort of overarching discussion that the company has never, you know, stood up and said, we are going to change the way the world looks at women, but we do kind of think that we might change the way some people do, as far as allowing women to fully participate in the entire breadth of human emotion and range of expression, meaning that, you know, sometimes women can be driven to violence. And the point is to examine what drives a person to violence, regardless of gender, and what they do about it and what the consequences are, and enable women to participate in that full discussion instead of being relegated to either getting slapped around, you know, in a Tennessee Williams play, or simply reacting to the violence that they're seeing on stage, but actually participating and exploring everything that violence means in society and to, you know, an individual.
I haven't much read that. That's actually the reason. But I mean, I hear, obviously, understanding what makes, I was about to say what would make a woman fight, is something that's not explored as often as what makes men fight. And it's eye-opening to a lot of people to learn that the answer most of the time is the same kind of stuff. So,
and what are those basic...
Go ahead.
What are those basically that that cause people to go to fighting, to go to violence?
Well, it's not really basic. I mean, we fight, we become violent when words no longer work. That's certainly when words fail is what we often say when we're staging our show. But we can all feel rage, and we can all feel power thirsty and be driven to murder. We can all feel protective of somebody or protective of ourselves. And women are mainly expected using their stage combat training to be cast as a victim. And there's a lot more to it than that. I can't even make a list because there are a ton of reasons why somebody would get violent.
And it varies from person to person, too. I mean, some people are moved to violence over the slightest of slights. You know, there are people in the world, both male and female, who will throw something at you for a perceived insult that didn't even happen, you know. So it's rather than breaking it down along gender lines, it's really who is that person and why can they no longer talk their way through the situation? Why are they resorting to violence? And it's such an interesting discussion that women have been so left out of for so long.
Yeah, one of the reasons why we're attracted to doing shows that have stage violence in them is because there is such a complex range of things that can happen to a character, a range of emotions.
Absolutely. And I want to remind our listeners that if you have some questions or comments for Catherine or Lee, you can call in at 323-580-5755 and press 1, or you can post them on facebook.com/theempowermentshow. Lee and Catherine, I thought what was very interesting and talking about the range of emotion that women can now portray on the stage. One of the things that I believe Babes with Blades uses is the Bechdel test, and maybe you guys can explain it better than me. So can you tell us a little bit about what that is and why that's a litmus test for the plays that you do?
Well, it started as a tag. It's intended by Alison Bechdel. It's a pass-fail rating system, which evaluates films specifically using the three criteria. One, it has to have at least two named female characters in it who, two, talk to each other, and three, talk to each other about something besides a man. And I've actually received scripts where the cast list read listed first the male characters and their roles in society, and then the female characters and their relationship to the male characters, of sister of. And given the data that there's such a shortage of female characters, and the data is something like it's 2-to-1, two male characters for every female character in the broadest scope, and then you can go down to family. The Gina Davis Institute does a wonderful job with this, but if you're in a family film, the roles were actually 3-to-1, is what their data has. But
and that ratio, according to that institute, hasn't changed since the 60s or 50s.
Those female characters that do exist fulfill a limited range of roles. So if the Bechdel test is it's a solid gauge to use because it's really surprising. You can go to BechdelTest.com and see the list, but there are a lot of films that we consider to be strong female films that don't pass. Like if you look at the Avengers, for example, there are three really strong female characters in it, but they're in a sea of male characters. They don't talk to each other. And it's not a deal breaker, but it's certainly something that we take into account when we're looking at plays.
Yeah, after you introduced that that test to me, Lee, I've been watching local television and movies and the theater that I go to, and it is amazing. I think that the thing that I've noticed a lot is that women are always talking about relationships. And so just like when you were talking about not being able to explore the wide range of emotions, it seems like so many of the scripts are written where the only focus for women is the romantic relationship.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's not just the range of emotion. It's the range of occupation. You know, I mean, to be able to portray characters who are doctors and scientists and, you know, police officers and not just a love interest in some way.
Absolutely. The other thing that really struck me when I attended the Julius Caesar production was a questionnaire that you had for the audience. And it was talking about it asked for the demographics of the survey taker as far as gender and sexual orientation. And I wonder how much of the work that Babes with Blades does, you talk about gender equality, is that not only for women, but for a larger, broader group as well?
That's a really good question. Our surveys serve multiple purposes, but the two main ones, one is for us to know what kinds of plays our audiences are interested in seeing us produce in the future. Another is to gather demographic data for potential funders who are interested who our audience is. But we discovered a while ago that we have a higher than usual LGBT, lesbian, gay, bi, trans, and then there are other initials to that now, but about 15% people who identify themselves as such, and largely because we're an LGBT-friendly company. It's a theme that is present in a lot of our plays because it's a funny thing. Playwrights, when they're writing high-stakes relationships, is some things that come up very frequently are family relationships and romantic relationships. People want to put a love story in the plays a lot. When they're writing an all-female play and a favorite wants a love story, they make it a lesbian love story.
That makes sense.
So as a result, we have a bunch of wonderful LGBT-themed stories in the arsenal. And at the very least, our audience, because we don't, of course, only appeal to the LGBT audience, but I'd say our audience tends to be LGBT-friendly as well. And for those who aren't necessarily, I like sneaking up on them sideways with a story that may make them leave the theater liking a character that turned out to be gay and rethink what they think about that.
Yeah, it was a very interesting experience with the individuals that I came to see the play with because they were probably more conservative than I am. And I remember about at the intermission, one of the individuals I was with mentioned that during the play that she didn't even notice that it was all women anymore in the play. And so I think that the atmosphere that you create through your plays really kind of breaks through the normal gender roles, and we just get to see people. So it's pretty amazing what you're doing there on stage.
It's one of my favorite things about the Shakespeare's particularly because doing a new play where somebody has written an all-female cast, that's one thing. But when you're playing roles that are traditionally inhabited by male actors and you replace them with females, we have heard that comment a lot, that at some point everyone is just a person. It's this huge equalizer because we're not playing at being one gender or the other, and that's not the important thing about the characters. And it in a way that when you do have male and female actors on stage, you can't help the gender sort of entering into it a little bit. And so it's a really interesting perspective, and the feedback we get about that is kind of fabulous.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think another thing that you're doing, I mean, it's amazing that you can use Shakespeare, and yes, he's very good at that, the gender equality and really looking at the heart of individuals. I know that one of the passions for Babes with Blades is also developing new scripts. Can you tell us a little bit about the Fighting Word program that you have?
Sure. I mean, it's because what we need to do as a company is create opportunities for women to play fighting roles. And those didn't exist. We found out a long time ago we need to make those plays happen. So we began with the Joining Swords and Pens competition in 2005 when our founder, Don Alden, and SAFD Fightmaster David Woolley, who also sponsors the competition, were looking at an image of some women fighting bare-breasted under a tree and wondered what that story was. So they sent it out there and asked the rights to write what they thought the story was. And then the image... We now do that every other year with a different image, and that image needs to be a different play, and the play needs to feature female characters front and center, and it needs to use stage combat in the storytelling.
Tell her about the art competition that grew out of it.
Yeah, we also ran out of images at one point. So originally every other year, we now put it out to the visual arts community to create an image that suggests to women in conflict, and then that is now the image that we put out there. So we've now had three, Christine Borgs, Vicky Siliagi, and Gabriella Boros. So it's happened three times now, and it's been a wonderful connection with the visual arts community for us as well. And now I just realized those were all female artists, too. That's totally by accident.
It wasn't required, but it's nice.
Nope. No, it's a blind submission, as is the playwriting competition. So it doesn't matter to us whether the playwright is male or female. We do pick the best out of the batch. And same deal goes with the Inspiring Sword and Pen, which is the visual arts competition.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Inspiring Sword and Pen?
Yes.
Oh, I believe I just did. I mean, it's really simple. We send a message out on our website, on our Facebook page, wherever anyone will listen to the art schools in the area, and we ask artists to create a piece of visual art that features two women or conjures the idea of women in conflict.
Okay. So with these images, I can imagine, do you receive many different stories? Are there so many different takes as far as the entries that you receive to interpret those images into scripts? What's that process
some of
like?
Some of them really stretch. Some of the playwrights get literal with the image. The play Trash came from an image called The Erinyes by Vicky Silyagi. It's of two women in evening wear grappling in a landfill with two coyotes standing in the background. And it looks like a night shot. But we got a whole bunch of different plays. But there's two plays that we actually are producing out of that. One of them was the winner, Trash, by Arthur Jolly, which was about two sisters that were looking for a letter that had been discarded by by one of them. It was from their mother. And they're digging through a landfill, and then they let sisters do start fighting.
Tempers are running high.
What was that, Catherine?
Sorry, I was just saying, they've just come from the funeral, so they're in formal dress, and tempers are running high.
Mm-hmm. And the next play that we developed in the Fighting Words program, which I actually haven't talked about yet, but it's our new plays development program. We had another script called Mamba Seal, which was a bit of a post-apocalyptic take on Rigoletto, with gender-bending takes on the characters. That was written by Erin Adair, and we developed that last year, and we're producing it in the spring of 2014. But very different.
So how much of the plays that you do are new development scripts, and how much are scripts that you take that are Shakespearean or already in existence?
Every other year is when we do the all-female Shakespeare. We started doing that in 2009. But every other script that we have produced has somehow been at least partially developed by us.
Hmm.
Everything else has been a new work because they're not there. So the Fighting Words program is the... excuse me, I'm going to take a sip of water real quick. Sorry. So the Fighting Words program, we take submissions throughout the year, and so far it's been two scripts. We're actually increasing that coming up, but we give each script three readings, which the playwright is invited or it's recorded for them. One of them is an internal reading, which is just the company, and the second one is a public reading. And the third one is a public reading that includes a choreographed fight. So we increase the staging each time we perform it. And each time we perform it, we get feedback from the people in attendance. Internal read, it's just the ensemble, of course. But two public reads, we get feedback from the audience. And the playwright takes that and reworks the script.
That's fabulous. So you're not only giving opportunities for women to do roles that they're not usually able to do, but you're also giving opportunities for new playwrights as well.
Oh, gosh, yes. We're terribly grateful to the new playwrights for doing that.
And it sounds like the rest of your 2013-2014 season are two world premiere plays.
Both developed through the Fighting Words series.
Do you want to tell us about that?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Bo Thomas and the Case of the Sky Pirates, which is happening in the fall, it opens in August, is written by Eric Simon, and it's a film noir-flavored, movie-structured piece about a woman who poses as a Girl Friday for a detective agency, but she's really doing the detective work because it's a baseless late show. And then the second show is Mamba Seal by Erin Adair, which is the gender-bent take on Verdi's Rigoletto, and that's happening in spring of 2014.
Well, and the other one, the Beau Thomas and the Case of the Sky Pirates, was a script that was submitted for one of the competitions, right? And it was developed then through the Fighting Words workshop into something that, you know, is going to now be produced. So it's one of the things, one of the basic tenets that Babes was founded on. It's an old feminism saying, I believe, that Dawn used to quote, which is, if you cannot find it, found it. And the idea being that, you know, there are only so many fighting roles for women out there, and we've gone through all of them already, so now we need to make more. And so we're putting it out there into the world, and we've got the ensemble that has, you know, a diverse group of women of varying, you know, ages and types and talents. You've got this, you know, stable of actors ready to bring your characters to life if you can come up with some really good fighting women and a good story to put them in.
Absolutely, and it's amazing how your theater company has morphed from that original intention just to allow an opportunity for women to be in these roles to actually being a catalyst for a whole new genre of theater that you're working on.
Yeah, it's one of the bigger plans that I have for the future is expanding that program, because we our ensemble does keep growing. We keep reaching new audience and new playwrights every year, and it's amazing how much the submissions alone have increased. And I'd love to find more opportunities to actually show those new scripts to people.
Salon series or something.
Yeah.
What was that, Catherine?
I would say I was just saying like a salon series or something, right? I mean, yeah, you've got so many scripts worthy of being heard, but there's only so much in the budget. You can only produce a couple of shows a year. So in the meantime, you've got the Fighting Word series, but maybe some kind of, you know, monthly readings of, you know, two other scripts at a time or whatever without the staging and that sort of, I don't know, something. I'm throwing ideas out, Lee.
I like your ideas.
Yay.
So if our listeners want to see one of your plays or support your cause or submit a script, what is the best way for them to reach out to you?
Well, the website is www.babeswithblades.org. That's .org. And all there are various pages there that have all the appropriate email addresses to which to send a script or to which to send an email asking a question or that sort of thing. It's all on the website.
And we also have a very active Facebook page. So if folks like us there on Facebook and add us to their interests, they can find out what's going on.
Terrific. So we will make sure that we have that on the Empowerment Show Facebook page as well, so people go there and like it. But I wanted to, one of the other challenges that you guys have is the theater buildings, that you don't have your own space. So how is that with your partnership? What was that, Lee?
We are itinerant. Yes, we are. And there are many theaters in Chicago that provide rental spaces, and next year we will be working at the Raven again, where we've worked several times now, and our first time with the Rivendell Theater Company, which actually has a similar mission to us, which is exciting to me, to be in their space. But we've also...
The balance in Chicago is that, you know, we've got over 200, you know, theater companies and little black box theaters all over the city, but many of them can't accommodate a woman swinging a sword by herself, much less in a duel or in a, you know, group battle. So the space requirements that the company has are pretty specific.
Yeah, but it's also a space that's a venue that fits the play specifically. So, for example, we produced a Trapdoor, which is very intimate. It's almost claustrophobic, and it was perfect for the show A Gulag Mouse, which was set in a single room in the Russian Gulag.
Join Melissa Heisler next week right here at The Empowerment Show on the Linked Local Network. Link locally, connect globally. Learn about the next show and listen to previous shows at linkedlocalnetwork.com/empowerment. Join the conversation at facebook.com/theempowerment show or twitter.com/empowerment show.